Welcome to an hour of worship at Harvest Christian Fellowship on this, the third Sunday of Advent. It is trusted that God will reveal Christ the Savior as you hear the singing and preaching of the Word. Today's message is entitled, Guide Us to the Star of Indication. Let's join the congregation now as they sing the songs, the First Noel, O Come All Ye Faithful, and The Comforter Is Come.
On a cold winter's night, a pastor's mother. Oh, well, for is the healing of Israel.
To God the Ever man's love, the power of the church. Well, good morning again. Thank you for coming. And this morning I'd like you to turn with me back into Matthew chapter 2. And this is the third Sunday of Advent. And we're discussing or looking at the Star of Indication. Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all his chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not least amongst them of the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in the dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. So we've now investigated the story of the wise men quite adequately. And what has been interesting to me in the last few weeks is that the story of the wise men seems to be quite a prevalent theme throughout this Christmas. For example, I designed our Christmas card for Donna and I put the wise men on the card. I received a letter from Billy Graham this week, and there on the card that they sent was a picture of the wise men and the star. And I went into a shopping center this week to get something, and there on the wall was a big picture of the wise men with the star, and there in the distance was Jerusalem. And then I received a letter from a company in Toronto asking for help, and there on the letterhead this time was the full picture of the wise men. So in the narrative, we need to understand that the wise men are very, very significant to the Christian story. And we understand that these were real, actual, historical human figures that lived in the time of Christ around 2 BC and later on. We need to further understand that this is not a mythological connection of the wise men. They are not fantasized stories. Rather, they are given not to just arise in us a fuzzy feeling regarding the Christ child in Bethlehem, but it is to give us a clear historical accounting of three significant participants that found Christ as their fulfillment as they followed a star. Our message today centers around guide us to the star of indication. Whenever we think about the indication, we always think of a purpose, good end. And we have four movements in this narrative that we want to look at today. First of all, movement number one, beholding the star, verse 2. From the narrative, we do affirm one more time that these were actual human beings. They were actual magi that came from the east in Persia. We know that they were actual human beings because they caused quite a stir in Jerusalem when they got there. We know that they were actual humans because Herod witnesses that he called them to come and talk to them so that he could tell them when the star was first seen. And we know that they were humans just like us because they carried with them gifts and they traveled to see the newborn king. We know that they were probably these priests who had been gathering material for the temples in Persia. And we know that they were very, very wealthy. And as John said last week, they were Gentiles, descendants of Abraham, because they had an idea that the Messiah was given and that he soon would come. What is significant, however, is that there is no historical data that really affirms whether or not these individuals had ever been to Jerusalem before, despite the fact that they were traders in commodities. These individuals in Persia at one time were totally consumed with their everyday lifestyle. They were probably enhanced with watching the stars or watching the changes in the universe or watching the changes in the population or the changes in the economic conditions of their country. But on one day of their historical walk, there appeared a star in the sky that would forever radically change their lives. And it was the star of indication. We need to understand that it was more than just another cosmological realignment of the stars, for these wise men made clear to Herod that we have seen his star, and it was one that so dramatically impacted them that they would never, never be the same. Have you ever thought what this star really was? The Bible often speaks about the Shekinah glory of God himself. The Shekinah glory is when the Lord himself, through mediums, actually presents himself in the midst of people so that there is a drawing that cannot be resisted and cannot be denied. In the Bible, we have a number of important dramatic appearances of this Shekinah glory. You remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden, even though they had sinned, the Shekinah glory visited them when God came to walk with them in the coolness of the evening. And looking for them, he said, "Where are you, Adam?" And despite the sin that Adam had done, that Shekinah glory drew him back to have another talk and walk with God. Remember Abraham? He was in the Ur of the Chaldees, and one day God came and impacted his life, and he said unto Abraham that you should leave the Ur of the Chaldees, leave country and nation and family and people, and follow me. And with that one great impact, Abraham left all, and he went on. Remember Abraham and Sarai, when they were old, the angel of the Lord came unto them and told them and promised them that in their old age they would have a child. They laughed. But the Shekinah glory of God eventually brought it to pass. Remember Noah, he was told to build an ark because there was going to be a flood. 120 years later, after he was told by God and given the description of how to build the ark, the rain did come, and the Shekinah glory of the Lord came into his mind to save his family, and they were safe in the ark, and they overrode the flood. And then David. Remember Samuel, the Shekinah glory swept over him, and he was told that he was going to anoint David king of Israel. Jesse had a number of other sons, and every time that Samuel would go to one of the other boys, the Lord would say, "He is not the one." But when he came to David, the glory of the Lord shone around Samuel, so it seemed, and he knew that David was the one to be king. The three Hebrew boys They were thrown into fiery furnace, heated up 7 times more than it ever should have been heated up. And when Nebuchadnezzar went down to examine, he looked down, and there in the midst of the fire was the Shekinah glory of God one more time. And he says, "Did I not throw 3 into the fiery furnace? But behold, now there stands the 4th. And behold, he looks as if he is the Son of God." And so it's the Shekinah glory of God, so gripping these individuals that their lives are forever, ever changed. In our narrative of Matthew, we find in Matthew chapter 1, where the angel of the Lord in the Shekinah glory of God comes upon both Mary and Joseph independently and gives them great insight what is going to happen in their lives. What is most dramatic about all these incidents is this. They were living a common, ordinary, day-to-day life of a regular subsistence, but God spoke into them. I wonder, in our daily activities, as we live our regular life of getting up in the morning, having our breakfast, going to work, and doing all the commonplace things, I wonder if God can give us a star of His Shekinah glory that will so grasp our mind and our soul and our spirit that despite all that we are doing, we will set that aside to see Him as a co-partner leading us to the next step of fulfillment. You see, unless the star, unless the grace of Christ, unless the hope of His glory, unless this kind of presence comes to us and we see it and we start following it, life becomes a treadmill of futility, frustration, and fear. The wise men said, "We saw His star and we have come." We need to behold the star. We need to see God as co-partner in our activities. Then, movement number 2, the wise men behold the star and they follow it to Jerusalem. When they come into Jerusalem, there's a great stirring, as Brother John said. And John explained it quite well, but I want to add to it why there was a great stirring. You see, the Gentiles were not welcome in Jerusalem. They were treated as dogs. And here, these wise men from the east, who were Gentiles, had now come seeking the King of the Jews, of whom, according to Josephus, they had no authority or right or privileged position. It caused offense to the Jews that these Gentiles from the east had walked within the city walls, which were welcomed only by Jews of natural birth. We know that the tension there was also because the Jews and the Gentiles had now a Roman leader, Herod, who was not a Jew at all, and he was despised because he was sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, and it was reserved only for Jewish leaders, and so he had caused a great offense. We know furthermore that there was offense because when Herod denounced the coming of a king of the Jews, he offended the people in the city. And there was rumor that these 3 Gentile wise men were to go and seek out the King of the Jews and come back and report to Herod, a great offense. And so the wise men caused quite a stir. We need to know one more thing about this. We need to know that in Jerusalem at this very, very time, there was hostility to all the world about because of the inclusiveness now of all other nations that were growing. And Jerusalem was in a state of fear, and anybody coming in would be a threat to the economic survival of the Jews. In Jerusalem at this time, there was the glitter, the glamour, and the glory of the fulfilled life, the ecstatic life, the excited life. And here is where these wise men have come. The wise men could have stopped at Jerusalem. Eventually, as historic elements prove, they were widely accepted, and they would have been quite comfortable staying there as well. But notice, the Bible tells us that they did not stay in the frivolity of the world, the excitement of the world, the economic gain of power, prestige, and position. The Bible says that they followed the star. They followed the star. What is so significant here is this. Are we willing to move beyond our present accommodations which satisfy the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? Are we able to move beyond our comfort zone to follow the star, to find the Christ child who is the focal point of meaning and joy? You see, we that are His people are called to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him alone. Joshua 24:15, you remember the story when Joshua found the people in sin, and he rebukes them, and he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And after considerable consideration, the people say, "Nay, we don't want to go back to those gods. We don't want to go back to Egypt. We will serve the Lord." You remember Jonah had a very, very difficult time to move beyond the glitter and the glamour and the glory in Tarshish, because it was comforting to him to have his holiday in the glitter of the sun on the beautiful banks of Spain. And all of a sudden, the Lord gives him a rebuke and gives him a 3-day holiday in the belly of the whale. And afterwards, Jonah says of himself, "From the belly of hell I cried unto the Lord." It is very, very important that we understand that this world is not our home. And if we are to know the Christ and follow the star and see Him in His fullness, we need to move beyond ourselves. And we need to move beyond the joy of all the accommodation that the world presently gives us. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things in the world." Movement number 3, surrendering to the star until we reach Bethlehem, or until we find the Christ. As the star faithfully moves onward directly in front of these 3 wise men, they head to Bethlehem. Notice, they see the star directly before them, always constantly moving in a good paced time, so they will safely arrive to the Christ child. Imagine with me the great excitement, the great joy, the great pleasure in arriving at Bethlehem and coming to the house where the Christ child was laid. Imagine with me as the wise men give the gifts to the Christ child, one of them picks him up and holds him close to his breast and feels the breath of the living Christ and is taken up with the glory of the moment. We have seen the Christ, God's gift for the revolutionary change that will come in the plight of the Jews. They saw the Christ. My question to you is, have you gone out of yourself? Have you gone out of the world to Bethlehem? And have you come with an acquaintance with the Christ? Have you come with a love relationship to the Christ? And have you come to a trustworthy giving of yourself to the Christ? It all sounds good on paper, but let's go to movement number 4. So very, very important. In the narrative, we have a couple of lines that are so very, very significant, and we often overlook them. Herod says that when you get to Bethlehem, do not forget to retrace your steps back to give me the news about where this king is to be found, for I desire to go and worship him. But in the narrative, we have a very, very interesting statement here in verse 11, 12, and 13. When they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country in another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy them. The fourth movement of Matthew chapter 2 is this. A movement of devotional trust, unwavering commitment to follow the star beyond ourselves, the glitter and the glamour of the world, and beyond just seeing the Christ child. The movement now moves to devotional trust in the star, God himself. Think with me for a few minutes of the power, the prestige, the position, the great life these wise men would have been afforded by Herod if they would have gone back that short trip to Jerusalem to give him the key words. He is now in Bethlehem. It would have been self-serving, self-fulfilling, self-accomplishing, and self-gratifying to do that. And I'm sure that the tug was so strong. But the Bible says that they were warned that they should not return, and they went home another way. Although the scripture does not tell us here, I believe that that star in Bethlehem, rose one more time to guide them to the other path, home in safety. My brothers and sisters, the Christian narrative has no impact on you and I if we stay in movement number one, consumed with ourselves, consumed with our own lifestyle, consumed with our own pleasures. It has no fulfillment if we go as far as Jerusalem to discover where the Christ child lives, to examine who the King of the Jews is. It has no value if we go as far as Bethlehem and we give him gifts and we fall down and we worship him and we address to ourselves his love and his joy and his peace. It has no impact on our life until we have a devotional trust to love, honor, and obey him. We need to come to grips that the Christ child has come to seek and to save all who will love and trust him. But the Christ child needs to be more than a savior. He needs to be Lord over our life. And as Lord over our life, like Paul, we have to affirm that we are able to commit unto him without any hesitation or without any wavering, the full trust of confidence that he that has begun a good work in us is well able to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Today, as we leave the sanctuary, as we go into the world to face its testings and its trials and its tribulations, I want to let you know that the star, the living God himself in Jesus Christ, as we exercise confident faith in him, is now walking before us. He is walking not only before us, he is walking to empower us. And not only is he walking with us to empower us, but he is walking with us to partner with us in everything that we go. The question remains, what will we follow? Will we follow ourselves? Will we follow the call to Jerusalem and the glitter and the glamour of the world? Will we follow Bethlehem, knowing where the Christ is, and bowing down in obedience to the glory of his position? Or will we surrender our lives to him as Savior and Lord, as we see his star of indication? This is the way, walk ye in it. I don't think the Christmas story could be anywhere if we just came to Bethlehem, unless the Lord draws us by his star to move beyond and walk in the glory and the glitter and the power, the authority to have a God day, not just a good day. Amen? God bless you. Lord, we thank you for the star. We thank you for the decorations, and we thank you for the sanctuary. We thank you for the people of God. And we commit ourselves unreservedly in full confidence, Lord, that where you lead us, we will follow. In Jesus' name, amen.